For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Power Punch. Get charged up on the truth. Now, Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You have either unwittingly, unknowingly, or maybe even intentionally stumbled upon Power Punch. We're so glad you're here. We are the show that is unfiltered, unapologetic, and unable to return all these ugly sweaters we got for Christmas. It's okay, I guess. You know, this time next year, I'm going to be svelte. I'm going to be swole, as the kids say. And that is an untruth. My name is Larry Behrens. I'm so glad you've joined us for the last show of 2023. And friends, what a year it's been. What a time it's been to spend together and just look at all the craziness we've endured. Congratulations if you've made it this far. And on top of that, you made it through Christmas and it was not easy. I can tell. I was out there with you. I was fighting in the streets there with you. In fact, you know what? Let me give you let's start off a little personal story here because it begs to what we're going to be talking about. I was at, as I'm sure more than a few of you were, a busy, busy shopping center. And when I say busy, I mean one of those like, okay, there's like five parking spaces available, but they're the ones in the back. And, you know, where the guy who's usually living in his van parks anyway. Oh, wait, give it a few more years. That's going to be me. And I noticed like, oh, there's these prime parking spaces up front. Why are they sitting empty? Is it for the armed services? That's cool. Women who are pregnant? That's cool. Handicapped? Totally understand that. Wait, no, it's none of those. Wait, what is? Oh, my gosh. It's the EV charging parking spot, and it is glaringly empty. The place is packed full of cars, except for, no mistake, I counted them, 10, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 parking spots I saw at one shopping center that were all for EV charging, 100% for EVs, 100% empty, 200% knowing. Yeah, that's a real number. I can math. And I'm starting to wonder if I shouldn't just put together like a Twitter account that, and I'll call it EV Waste of Space, and just say, hey, why are we doing this? Because we all know what it is. It's 100% virtue signaling by these shopping centers. You know, let's switch it around. Can we have parking spaces for gas-powered vehicles only where there's a gas pump right there? That would be sweet. You get to gas up while you're shopping around. Oh, that's right. EV people need to do that because it takes them 45 years to gas up their car. Well, that was my holiday season. Not bitter. Not bitter at all. And so maybe that's something as we trudge into 2024. One of the signs we're going to take a look at, because as you know, Joe Biden, I think we talked about this a little bit last week. Joe Biden spent, what was it? 7 point something billion dollars of your money, my money, everyone's money, not his, not Hunter's. 7 point something billion dollars on charging stations, because that's, you don't understand, that's the key. If only there were more charging stations, we all would just rush and buy more of those EVs and the earth would be saved. Well, we know that's not the case. There are plenty of those EV chargers and they are near 100% empty. The only ones I've ever seen being utilized are being utilized near highways, kind of in the road trip zones. I'm talking about the places where it's kind of a large gas station and maybe they've got the three or four to the side. And I have to tell you, not to stereotype, but let's go ahead and stereotype. But I talk to the people when they're at those charging stations and I see their face, I'm not going to lie, their face says regret. Their face says, I know I have to sit here for at least, I don't know, I think one was a supercharger, so they were looking at like 45 minutes to charge. and they're going to watch Netflix or they're going to do something. And they're telling me like, oh, no, it's good. We love it. We love it because they have to. I would say I loved it too, because if I just dropped $60,000 on a car, I don't know how honest I could be with myself to be like, this stinks. I did not know it would be like this. Yes, I would love to reach my destination in a reasonable amount of time, but I'm going to be 3 hours late because I have to wink gas up. It's not the lack of availability of chargers. It's the terrible product. You know where electric vehicles work? They work on the golf course where they've worked for decades, because you're going to be in a short area and only need to drive short distances. That's where it makes sense. And they're adding all that. Look at the miles we have. Look at the range this has. Yeah, if you're in December here in Missouri and you don't run the heater and you have the, I don't know, the problem with ever so often you have to drive uphill. Forget towing. Forget the folks who work and tow. Don't put anything in the back. Oh, you got to take the extra kid to soccer practice. I'm sorry, we have to gas up for an extra 45 minutes. Boy, it just goes to show 2023 for me is going to be very similar to 2024. But nonetheless, I come bearing gifts. It's true. And this is, I'm going to be upfront with you. This is a time where radio just doesn't do it justice. I'm going to do my bestest, as my English teacher would try to tell me as I talk gooder. I'm going to try to do my bestest because I have found here a unicorn. Ever so often, I bring you a unicorn, and by golly, I found one. It was chef's kiss fantastic. You want to know? Here, let me tell you the story of how I found it. Earlier this week, there was a story in the Wall Street Journal, and it was, didn't say it specifically, but I think it was just, if I had to zero down what the story was about in just one sentence, I would zero it down to this. The article was trying to say, Joe Biden is Jimmy Carter. Now, the article never directly said that, but what it pointed out was Joe Biden, you know, because he's been in the Senate since Lincoln, was in the Senate when Jimmy Carter first ran for election and ran for re-election. So we're talking 76 and 80, right? And in 76, Senator Joe Biden was one of the first, I believe, according to the article, senators to endorse Jimmy Carter against President Ford. And obviously Jimmy Carter won that election. And the article goes on to point out that they formed a close bond. They got along and they were just chummy buddies. Just wonderful, wonderful. But then President Carter took office. And anyone who was closely associated with President Carter fell into political trouble. And I'm not talking scandal-wise. I'm talking about this guy's doing such a terrible job. If you're friends with him, you might not get reelected-wise. And Joe Biden was in such a boat, as it were, in 1978. He was up for reelection as senator from Delaware. And the country was not going well. I was alive. I don't remember that time. But I looked up the numbers, and I'll share with you here in a little bit. So I'm going to tell you two numbers here real quick, and they will give you insight into what I'm talking about. The year-end, the average year-end inflation in 1978 was 7.6%. Okay? Don't have to remember it. I'm going to give another one. You don't have to remember it either. The year-end average inflation in 2022 was 8%. Here's what you need to remember. 2022 average inflation was higher than it was in 1978. Okay? On average. Larry, you said that you promised me a unicorn. Here it is. I'm holding in my hot hand a copy of a single page of the Wilmington News Journal from Wilmington, Delaware. The date, it was a Tuesday, October 24th, 1978. So this would have been, what, roughly 2-3 weeks before Election Day, 1978? And it is a full-page ad from Senator Joe Biden. And at the tippy top of the page, here's what it says. And bull, I mean, I know folks weren't on the internet in 1978, but this was, this would be all cap, as the kids call it. All caps at the top. It says, quote, "The spiraling costs of inflation are ripping into the fabric of American society," end quote. Quote attributed to Senator Joe Biden. He took out a full-page ad for himself to distance himself from Jimmy Carter over inflation. He was so worried he would not get reelected because of his close association with Jimmy Carter that he took out a full-page ad in his own state's largest newspaper, or one of the largest, saying, "I get it, inflation is terrible." And the coup de grace here, if I'm saying it right, is it's just a long diatribe on hey, look at all these things he's done to stop. But in the lower right of the ad, it talks about how he went to bat for Delaware's energy customers because the evil utility wanted a rate hike, and Joe Biden knows that budgets are suffering, and so he stopped the evil utility from hiking the rates, and you should thank him because he's the greatest. The very bottom, Joe Biden, Delaware's voice in Washington. In 1978, Senator Joe Biden cared about inflation ripping apart American families when inflation was not as bad as it was as the inflation delivered by President Joe Biden. And we saw it this week, right? They're going to deflect. Just like Jimmy Carter, they are going to deflect and say, no. It's Putin's war, Putin's gas prices, Putin's inflation. Come on, guys. We know what's going on. Come on, man. We know what they're trying to do. They're trying to deflect what is going on in reality because they understand that when we walk into the grocery store, it's hurting. When we walk to the pump, no matter how happy they are that prices have mellowed a bit, it's going to hurt. And it's been hurting for a long time. We've been 3 years on this boat. And for the next 10, 11 months, Joe Biden is going to do everything he can to ensure you try to forget the last 3 years. Forget that they locked down your kids. Forget that you had to choose between buying food and heating the house. Forget that your family income has not increased nearly as much as prices have increased. When you go to the grocery store now, here's one I'll tell you as we get close to break here. Here's one I'll tell you because you're going to hear this a lot from Team Biden. Inflation is weakening. It's weakening. First of all, they're playing a shell game with you. Inflation is a year over year measure. So when they say inflation is only 3%, that means it's 3% higher than it was this time last year. They're trying to get you to give them credit for inflation not as out of control as it was earlier. Just like they're trying to get you to let them have credit for gas prices that are less than $5 a gallon. They need you to forget who caused that record inflation. They need you to forget who caused that $5 a gallon gas prices. And we know how they're going to deflect it, right? It must be so sweet to be a Democrat. Hey, remember that problem you caused? Oh, that was totally Russia. That wasn't me. Putin did it. Putin's gas prices. It's when it's good, when they think the information's good, it's Bidenomics. When it's bad, Putin, MAGA Republicans. The formula is so simple. And the media is going to try to force feed it to you in overdrive for the next few months. Don't buy it, literally. I want you to learn two words real quick as we head into the break. Cumulative inflation. That is, what is the real cost from when Joe Biden took office to right now? And that cost is well over 17%. And I think that is even a conservative amount. everything's costing you 17% more. If Joe Biden, which he will, is going to re-interview for his job, he's going to sit down and say, hey, I think you should hire me again. And you're going to say, why should I? You passed essentially a 17% tax on us. We're paying 17% more. And he's going to say, it's not a tax. I don't get that money. It's just the same cash out of your pocket. Well, speaking of 2023 and the things we need to be looking at, we're going to talk about the most annoying people of the year, and we're going to talk about the predictions that didn't come true. I hope you stick around. I hope you listen. I hope you're having a good time. You're listening to Power Punch.
Get more Power Punch at newstalkstl.com. You're listening to Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. Get charged up on the truth. Now, Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to Power Punch. I'm so glad you stuck around with us, or I'm so glad maybe the jail guard switched the radio so you have to listen to it. Either way, even if it's forced time together, I'm glad we could spend this time together as we get ready to ring in 2024. And we're going to talk here in a little while about the most annoying people of 2023. I hope they spelled my name right. But first, I wanted to take a look back. And I wanted to share with you a little something that they're not going to be very loud about. And when I say they, I mean the pushers of the green agenda. I mean the experts. Those in the ivory tower we're supposed to listen to because they know what's better for the people. They know what's better for all of us. Did you know there's a group and they're called, the International Energy Agency. Leftists love these guys. They love them. And they love them almost as much as they love those United Nations climate guys, those IPCC reports. Oh, how they just can't get enough. I mean, find someone who loves you as much as eco-leftist loves the United Nations, and you will be happy for all days of your life. So while this is, I think, loosely tied to the United Nations, it's the International Energy Agency, the IEA, as it were. And when I looked up their history, they were formed by countries in response to, hey, look what Jimmy Carter did. In the late 70s, the oil crisis. And, you know, just deciding how countries are going to do it. And country after country after country has joined up. And that's how that's worked. So now they're full blown into, just like the United Nations, that we need to upend complete Western civilization and make us go back to unreliable but expensive energy just to, you know, make Greta happy and all those good things. I see you, Greta. We're gonna talk about you later. And anyway, they issued a report maybe last year, maybe year before. And here's the key part about it. This is an article in Bloomberg. And I have to give you a caveat as we go in. This article is written by someone who I believe... is all in on the green agenda, who just loves it. So they're coming from that perspective, but they're still telling the truth, which is weird, because those guys usually don't. After fueling the 20th century automobile culture that has reshaped cities and defined modern travel, gasoline was supposed to begin its long goodbye this year in 2023. It didn't. Sure, a bunch of EVs were sold. And if you looked in the moneyed suburbs of London, New York, and Beijing, EV cars are a common sight. That's right. Among the rich, they're everywhere. There's your common sight on them. But from that narrow perspective, if you're only looking at the rich people of the world, it looks like the world has already, quote, started transitioning away from fossil fuels, end quote. Now, you remember, I told you last week, that was one of the goals that came out of the United Nations conference. We're going to start transitioning away from fossil fuels. So, to that end, as EV sales increased, the global oil industry sold more gasoline than ever this year. And that's a big deal. So the International Energy Agency had expected that 2019 would be the all-time high for gasoline sales. Yeah, the experts. This is what they descended down from on high, down from the ivory tower, and they blessed us with their presence, and they brought us tofu and granola and Wagyu's only for them. We get to eat from the curds and whey. And they said, we have hereby declared that peak gasoline has occurred in the year 2019. More people work from home. The pandemic. We will never be buying that much gasoline again. You can kiss gasoline goodbye. You're welcome. Kiss my ring as I ascend back up in the tower. Okay, maybe it didn't happen exactly like that, but it feels like that was the way, right? They assumed that that would be the case. They printed it in their five-year oil outlook that fuel is likely to exhibit the earliest and most pronounced peak in demand in 2019. Well, they got bad news. Because you did it. You broke the record. 2023 delivered the most gasoline purchased ever. You surpassed 2019. Yeah. So in 2019, let me see. Oil demand was 26.7 million barrels a day. The IEA predicted that gasoline usage would, quote, never return to 2019 levels, end quote. Instead, it's risen. It's just nudged over that peak to 26.9 million barrels a day this year, and 2024 is poised for another, even if small, increase to just above 27 million barrels a day. As things stand, the peak in gasoline demand has been, they say it's delayed. And this author writes, and I won't be surprised if once more data are available and forecasts are updated, the peak is pushed back even further. Global demand for gasoline surpassed this year the record high in 2019 before the onset of pandemic. And that was particularly significant because it came against headwinds. And so this year, we had massive high gas prices, thanks Joe Biden. This year, it said the gas prices were particularly high for currencies outside the U.S. Work from home remains far more prevalent than ever before because of the pandemic, and Chinese economic growth has slowed. So even with those factors, which usually, no pun intended, drive up the purchase of gasoline, we still broke the record that our betters have told us would never be broken again after 2019. It is insane, and here's why. Gasoline demand benefits from a strong force. The world, despite what Joe Biden is trying to do, is becoming richer. In 2023, there were about 1.1 billion passenger cars in use. And I know what you're going to say. Half of those were just for John Kerry's entourage. I get it, but they still use gas. It still counts. 1.1 billion passenger cars. Now that's up from about 850 million a decade earlier. So even if a growing percentage of those cars is battery powered, what's up, golf cart? The absolute number of gasoline fueled cars has increased, and it's a trend that will take decades rather than years to reverse. So why do I share this with you? I share it with you for several reasons. One is because, they were wrong, right? And that's always fun. And it's another climate prediction that'll get buried in, I guess Al Gore has a secret island somewhere where he tries to bury all the predictions that eco folks get wrong. You know, like the Maldives would be underwater by now. The poles are supposed to be melted by now. I think New York's supposed to be underwater by now. Oh, that's right. Joe Biden opened the border, so it's pretty close. It's not underwater with water. And so all these failed predictions, and here's another one to add to it, but here's the bigger reason. There will be folks wear suits and ties. They have PhD after their name. They'll even embrace diversity. and you'll have representatives like Cori Bush shaking their fists at you, telling, we have to listen to IEA. These are the experts. They're wrong. They're wrong nearly every time. They continue to predict for the demise of fossil fuels, and lo and behold, not just America, but the entire world has a crazy addiction to using affordable and reliable energy. And let's be honest, when I say the entire world, I'm really counting what, half? Because these elitists are trying to keep the other half from adopting standards of energy that would allow their citizens to thrive, but they know it would mean more coal, more natural gas, and so they want to stop that. They want to stop, you know, folks owning cars anymore, because lo and behold, those cars will use gas. You're not choosing what they want you to choose. And that brings us to the next point as we close out 2023 right here. Electric vehicle demand losing steam in the U.S. What? And I like the fact they said losing steam. It must really make the EV people ticked off. Anyway, this is from the Wall Street Journal this year. Electric vehicle sales growth hit a speed bump in the United States this year, and the impact is being felt throughout the industry. Around the world, EV people have invested billions of dollars in technology, spurred on by tailpipe emissions regulations designed to push us towards EV vehicles. And I want to focus on that sentence. This is how it's written to you, and let's focus on what it's saying. EV sales or EV technology was heavily invested, spurred on, not by you wanting one, not by massive demand, not by customers clamoring and breaking down the door to get into that F-150 Lightning. No. They are spurred by government making regulations that will outlaw your car. And so they are trying to be there to provide the product that government will then find acceptable. And even that is not working. So sales of them rose for the first 11 months of the year, but slower than a pace that was predicted. In fact, if you take a look at it, its EV sales are slowing at a massive rate. They are sitting on a dealer lot. And so the average number of days it takes a dealer to sell a vehicle in the United States, gas-powered car right now, about 40 days. That car will sit on the lot about 40 days on average. That EV sitting on the lot more than 60 days on average. And you have to be ready for it. You have to, because here is what you're going to hear as this happens. You're going to hear that, no pun intended, it's just a bump in the road. Whenever you do a major transition, there's going to be major hiccups. But you and I both know the truth. We've seen what happens when the government massively subsidizes it. And when I say massively, one study showed that when you look at the price of an EV on the lot, it's highly possible that the cost it took to produce that EV is double that cost. What? How are they able to sell it like that? Let me let you in on a little secret. You've already bought the EV if you're an American taxpayer. The government subsidized all the effort it took to manufacture that thing to get the price down. Yes, I'll say it down to that ridiculous high you still see on the car dealer lot. The EV that is waiting there for over 60 days to sell and it's piling up on the dealer lots. That is with massive government subsidies to deliver it even that far. And there's subsidies on your end too to try to lure it together like a magnet. They subsidize it on one end, give you credit on the other end, and they're trying to make this match that they believe is made in heaven of everyone buying EVs. And gosh darn it, you're just not falling for it. How dare you, as Greta would say, how dare you not fall for it? So what are they going to do? They've given you the freedom to choose the EV, but you're not choosing it. So it looks like they're going to have to get a little more heavy-handed. It looks like they're going to have to, I don't know, pass some rules. And here's another thing that brings to mind what I want you to look out for in 2024. Let's review class, shall we? Remember, we want anyone who tells you inflation is cooling ask them about cumulative inflation. And second, watch for these words, because Joe Biden, as much as he accuses the other guy of acting like a dictator, Joe Biden throws a lot of mandates on you that will never, ever go through Congress. He doesn't want your elected officials to touch them. So look for phrases like implementing new rules, refreshing new standards, updating regulations. Those are all things that Joe Biden is and will do in 2024 to try to mess with your life. The gas stove ban, that was going to be a rule and regulation. Joe Biden isn't going to take that through Congress. And all the other appliances that he tried to get out of your hands this year, he's going to try to do it through the back door. And that's because he knows it is an absolute political failure. And he doesn't want to have members of his party on record for voting for it in Congress. That's where we are right now. We have a president who has to pass the Green New Deal through the back door because he knows it's so unpopular, but he also knows the radical wing of his party will skewer him if he doesn't do it. It's almost enough to annoy you. Hey, speaking of annoying, we're going to talk about it next. I promise we will get to it. The 7 most annoying people in the world. Coming up right after this, you're listening to Power Punch.
Get more Power Punch with Larry Behrens at newstalkstl.com. This is Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. Get charged up on the truth. You're listening to Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
Oh my goodness, welcome back. I almost feel a little teary-eyed. Then I remembered I have a cold ice block machine of a heart. So that we won't get there, but we do need to note the last segment of 2023 of Power Punch. Okay, that's enough sentimentality. I'm just kidding. We'll get a little more sentimental as the segment goes on here. But first, I wanted to get into some of the most annoying people of 2023. And it's not just my list, even though I almost heartily agree with it. This is a list from Dan Gignore. I hope I'm saying your name right, Dan, who came out with the 7 most annoying people in the world this year. And you know what? Shockingly, a little spoiler alert, this person wasn't on the list.
So often people want to say, why are you talking about the border crisis? Or why aren't you talking about it in this way? Well, we're talking about it. They just don't like how we're talking about it. Because it's not a border crisis. It's an imperialism crisis. It's a climate crisis. It's a trade crisis. This is not a surge. These are children. And they are not insurgents. And we are not being invaded. Which, by the way, is a white supremacist idea, philosophy.
AOC, you didn't make it. That's right. Everything is the climate crisis. Oh, what? Even when it's not weather, it's the climate crisis. And what? You have to appreciate the lying shtick that they have that the media buys. Hi there, representative. Your district is a hexscape full of crime, fentanyl, murder, and death. And you, as a representative who are supposed to fix it and supposed to help it, have really done nothing. What do you say to that? It's the climate crisis. Oh, brilliant. You're right. You're so right. Where can we send our check? Mr. President, you ushered in the worst gas prices in history, the highest inflation that we have seen since Jimmy Carter, who was your good friend. And, you know, it's the leader of the free world. It is your job to protect the citizens, and you have just ravaged every part of their budget, economy, and way of life. What do you say to that? It was Putin. Oh, that's right. Here's my question. I default back to this. Whenever I look at their deflecting answers, you have to ask, I go back automatically to Office Space, where those interviewers are sitting across the table and they ask a simple question. What exactly is it that you do here? If you begged us to vote for you for president and you're going to beg us to vote again, or not even just president, any office, and the problems that you said you were going to fix aren't fixed, and then you say essentially that you are powerless to fix them because of other things out of your control, then I have to ask exactly what good are you here? And I haven't even gotten to the border. I know that's what our friend AOC was talking about there. I haven't even gotten about the failures of the border this week, but I will stop. Let's just stop and mention this about the border, because I have got my hands on a time relic and I'm looking at a milk carton, and the missing picture on it looks like, that's Kamala Harris. Oh wait, but that's border czar Kamala Harris. Oh, okay. Yeah. We haven't seen her in a while, as the United States sets a record of over 250,000 people streaming across the border in a single month. Remember when Uncle Sleepy Joe appointed Kamala to be the border czar and fix it? She didn't head down there once. And now this week he sent his Secretary of State, Secretary of Homeland Security, down to Mexico to get a deal. Spoiler alert, Mexico snubbed them. And they'll come back with tails between their legs and say, oh, look what we did. Now it's going to be Mexico's fault. So you're going to have a year, my prediction, you're going to have a year of deflection. Of Joe Biden saying gas prices, Putin's fault, inflation, MAGA Republicans' fault, the border, Mexico's fault. And so he's going to admit just how feckless he is as a leader. Because all the good stuff is going to be for him, and all the bad stuff is going to be someone else's fault. And when I say all the good stuff, there's not going to be any. But this list is full of the good stuff. The top annoying people of 2023 so far. Let's get into it. I think you'll agree with it. Numero uno. That's right. I'm starting at the top, baby. We're not doing no countdown. R.I.P. Dick Clark. Randy Weingarten, number one. There is no individual more responsible for the undermining of American education than Randy Weingartner, who's president of the American Federation of Teachers. She has a particular general agenda against parents' rights groups. Here's her bashing one. She said, quote, Moms for Liberty has always been an extremist front designed to divide parents from educators. Oh, end quote. And her latest, she claims school choice undermines democracy. Oh, and I didn't even get into... They're trying to kick Trump off the ballot because democracy means kicking people off the ballot. But again, listen to their language. And I'll say this, to their credit, they're telling you exactly what they're doing by accusing you of doing it. So when she says you're undermining democracy by, I don't know, wanting to choose where your kids go to school, it actually means she wants to undermine democracy by keeping your kids in that failing school. That is her singular job in life, to make sure that the money flows. Hear me now and hear me good. The job of Randy Weingarten is a job for political power and money. Your kids do not factor into it unless they can provide her more of those two things. It's really that simple. Randy Weingarten, back to the article, hates school choice and parents' rights groups because her members are doing a lousy job of teaching and parents don't want their kids indoctrinated. Thanks to Randy, every time you see a failing school, look for the union label. Love it. Absolutely true. Number two, Greta, come on down. It's Greta, how dare you, Thunberg, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Hold the applause. While we were focusing on liberal activists, let's discuss climate loon Greta Thunberg. Her trademark statement is telling people she disagrees with, how dare you? And her focus on climate issues continues. But in 2023, she shifted into high gear leftism by, yep, we talked about it here, siding against Israel in its war against Hamas. Yeah, that's right. So she took a look at that situation and said, I'm with the terrorists. This year, she started getting arrested at protests, which she does for a living now. I guess. And it's a classic leftist move where she gets showered with attention and a slap on the wrist, the essence of liberal narcissism. Then she posted a group photo where she held a sign that said, "Stand with Gaza." The Times of Israel reported she was chanting "Crush Zionism" at a November pro-Palestinian rally in Sweden. She even co-authored a piece for The Guardian, so nobody read it. The Guardian headlined, "We won't stop speaking about Gaza's suffering." Here it is. "There is no climate justice without human rights." This is what they do. And they do it better than our side does, I'm afraid. They close ranks. And it's like, oh, well, what does, you know, the war in Palestine have to do with climate justice? Absolutely nothing. But if she can stand by her friends who will later stand with her at the climate protest, they close ranks. It's the intersectionality that the left loves so much. But congratulations to Greta this year, as she was outed as anti-Semitic by saying "crush Zionism." Excellent job there. Excellent job. Number three, and this is where the author gets into the, you know, asking the genie for more wishes zone. The late night hosts. That's right. For a short time, America could relax and breathe easy. The late night airwaves weren't polluted by bad jokes and leftist stupidity, thanks to the Hollywood writer's strike. Alas, all good things must come to an end. And as we hit pause there, let's take a moment to appreciate the Hollywood writers and Hollywood actors strike of 2023. I loved it. I love it, love it, love it. Here's what I love so many things about it. I love that I don't know how long that strike was. You know why? Because it didn't affect anything important. One day you saw on the news, oh, they're on strike. Next day you saw, oh, maybe they're done. What was it, like 2 or 3 months ago? I don't know. I don't care. Because they are so ineffectual that we can't even tell that they weren't at work. And I racked my brain. What other industry, vein of work, could someone literally not do it for 3 months and no one would notice? I mean, if all the doctors and nurses went out for 3 months, folks would absolutely notice. Educators, folks would absolutely notice. Oil, natural gas workers, transportation workers, construction workers, folks would absolutely notice. Hollywood screenwriters, actors, nope. And say it with me. Politicians and bureaucrats in Washington, and maybe in some state capitals too. You guys could take 3 months off and we won't even notice. And have you started to notice too the sting of a threat from the left saying, uh-oh, the government could shut down, and most of America going, okay, we accept your terms. It's kind of the, I think it was the Elon Musk rule. If you work for a place and you take a 2-week vacation and it's not noticed that you're gone, maybe it's time to brush up that resume, homeboy. Number four, all the president's women, not what you're thinking. When the presidents of three top institutions of higher learning testified in Washington, it was some of the most revealing video we've seen in years. Harvard President Claudine Gay, MIT President Sally Kornbluth, and exiting University of Pennsylvania President Liz McGill all made fools of themselves and reminded Americans that they are overpaying for college. I have here for you a money-making idea. I don't know if anybody's done it yet, but if someone wants to make a bumper sticker that says "proud parents of a not Harvard student," I'm telling you, it would sell. I think this is the year that people came very proud that their kid did not go to Harvard. And if you do make that, make sure you kick 10% back to the big guy here. All right. Number five, Meghan Merkel and her husband, Prince Harry. I don't want to get into it with the royals. I don't like giving the royals any breath, any waste of time. They are super annoying. And you know what? My ancestors, your ancestors fought a war so that we don't have to listen to them. So I just move on. Number six, Bill Gates. Every list of annoying people should have an evil billionaire, but there are so many, it's hard to choose. This is my favorite part. I picked gas-guzzling hypocrite Bill Gates. I'm just going to read this straight because this is pure butter coming at you. Billionaire Bill is sure he knows how our world should run as long as none of those rules apply to him. So he flies private jets, you know, the kind that use up more CO2 than you and I put out in a given year, but he thinks that's okay because he uses some sort of bogus carbon offset. Here's his argument, and here's an actual quote Bill Gates gave this year. I love it so much. He says, I'm comfortable with the idea that not only am I not part of the problem by paying for the offsets, but also through the billions that my breakthrough energy group is spending, that I am part of the solution, end quote. First of all, kudos in 2023 to a media member who had the guts to ask him to his face, don't you feel like a hypocrite flying around in private jets while you tell other people not to fly at all? And here was his response. I spend money, so it's okay. So if you can buy carbon offsets and you have billions to set aside, in the twisted mind of Bill Gates, the science doesn't apply to you. So your CO2 smells better than everybody else's, Bill. That's why you're on the list of the most annoying. And lastly, this is just one that I think we can all just come together on, right, left, everything. NFL referees. Just NFL referees. That's what he put here. He honestly was going to say the college football playoff selection committee goes, but that's a battle for another day. And he's talking about just how terrible the NFL referees are, particularly in games where the Kansas City Chiefs are involved. Their terrible decisions and their terrible non-decisions are making the game awful. He does call them the Kansas City Taylor Swifts. I'm sorry if that triggered some of you. Anyway, that is it. The top seven annoying people or groups of people of 2023. Who's not annoying? You. Thank you so much for joining me this year. Thank you so much for all that you do. And hey, what do you say we do it again next week? What do you say we do it again next year? Because that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to continue to tell the truth. We're going to be unapologetic. We're going to be unafraid. And hopefully not unemployed. Thanks for listening this year. Catch you in the next.
Get more Power Punch with Larry Behrens at newstalkstl.com. This is Power Punch with Larry Behrens on Newstalk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.